Well, first of all, we had the Franklin Initiative Bloomington Chamber of Commerce awards for outstanding educators, and it was an amazing event. It was at the convention center, and it's outstanding.
And Sue, how many times have you been to these? This is edition number 8. Is that where we're at now?
No, you know what? This was, I think they said last night, number 17, the 17th Educator of the Year Awards. And I got to tell you, I was involved way, way, way back when I was first on the school board. And this has grown. It's always been the Franklin Initiative honoring educators. But it's grown in attendance, the sponsorship, the kind of turnout we get. It really has become...
So the community's bought like into it.
Oh, exactly. It's become such a recognized annual event of the Chamber of Commerce and Franklin Initiative.
And how valuable is it to the people in local education knowing they're being recognized for their service and performance?
You know, given what's going on in the world today about
education. I was
going to
say, they get so much love from the state and the legislature.
Well, you know what? This is what's really cool. What Smithville Fiber does videos of each person. You know, back in the day when this first started, you'd introduce the recipient and they'd come up and maybe say something. Now we have a video of each award winner that's been filmed ahead of time, and it shows them at work and with their colleagues and with kids. And every single person in the video just talked about, I'm doing my job. This is what I love to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And now I'm getting recognized. And then they were just so overwhelmed as they talked about it. So
they're overwhelmed to get the recognition. That's the
right.
And that's the sad part. It's celebratory and sad that, you know, these people don't get recognized for what they do.
And they're not going home with a Cadillac or anything.
No, really. No. They get a little Lucite plaque they can put in there. Sue, I want to go through their names because I think it's important. And I want to start in the order they did it last night. We have Mitch Bratton from the MCCSE, who's the Assistant Director of Special Education. And he grew up in a family of educators, and he talked about what it was like to work with special needs kids and what a joy it's been for him. And it was just amazing to see him and see his video.
And Mitch has recently been appointed as the Assistant Director of Special Education for MCCSE.
Right.
Prior to that, he was a special ed teacher at North High School. So I think everyone's real excited about this pick for our new assistant director since Jan McCullough, who had been with us for a number of years, retired recently.
Right. He said, one of his quotes was, "I believe that as educators, we must be willing to be self-reflective for the purposes of looking for ways to improve our practice and better respond to our student needs." Another winner was Luke Chanley, the Jackson Creek Middle School business technology teacher. And here's a guy that's dealing with the kids and all the technology things. And it's just a pure delight that he gets out of being a teacher.
Exactly. And it was fun to hear about the different technology, I don't want to say challenges, but, you know, every day is something new with technology. So interesting hearing about that with him, too.
And then Brian Ford, Bachelor Middle School, and a Bridges teacher.
And that means that he deals with some of our special needs students in a self-contained classroom, but not really, because I get so much help from everyone else. But this is, he talked about working with these kids so that they could get as much out of education as possible, and certainly just seemed like an extremely patient man who just really loved working with his students.
And he's been doing it for 11 years. Then we had Ginny Miller from Edgewood High School, a special education teacher.
Right, and I don't know a lot about Ginny since she's out at RBB, but it's important to note that the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce is for the county, so of course RBB is included too. And again, I think we recognized 3 people in special ed last night. So as Kathy Fuentes-Rohr said to me, she leaned over, she said, "Wow, special ed is rocking the Emmys." So it was really nice to have so many special ed people there.
And the other thing that they all made a point of is that you don't put limits on the kids. Let the kids achieve to their highest capabilities. And I thought that was really, really neat. Sarah Smock, an Edgewood Intermediate School teacher, third grade teacher, is teaching in her blood because She's the daughter of two educators, and she was recognized last night.
Right, and then there was Adam Terwilliger, who's the math department chair at Bloomington High School North, who talked about somewhat about his role as a math department chair in coordinating and organizing what happens in the math curriculum out at North, but then also talked about teaching math and what that means to him and how he tries to connect with his students.
Well, and the great joy that he gets out of doing that. Now,
right.
One that Mike will recognize is Whitney Thomas,
sure.
A former IU women's basketball player, and she's working with Fairview.
Right. Whitney started working with us. She's a student and family advocate at Fairview, and she started working with us in that capacity, not as a teacher, not as an assistant principal, but as someone who could come in and make some connections, not just with the kids, but with the families and the area. And that position with Whitney has grown, so much so, in fact, that we're replicating that at another school because she really is doing some things that our principals and our teachers may not have time to do, but in terms of bringing in the community, and she's the one who's been bombarded with this great community support of everyone who wants to volunteer mm-hmm. and finding ways to utilize those folks.
Now, so, were these folks nominated? Were they? How did the process go? Did somebody in there?
They could be nominated by their administrators in their
parents.
School, by other teachers, by parents. Couple of them were nominated by their kids.
Wow, great.
So
well, and let me tell you, the Binford, and there's one more teacher.
Oh, good, sorry.
Elise Tiller, who's a French teacher at Edgewood.
Oui.
And I thought she was nominated by her students.
Right.
And the quote in the program from one of her students called her Madame Tiller, because they're French students.
That's
so,
exactly
you know, that's
right.
How they referred to her. But the Binford Rogers group that won a Leading Light Award for their sixth grade curriculum that kind of imitates middle school, where kids change classes and get to be prepared for that. They were nominated, because I was talking to these parents afterwards, by parents whose kids were at Binford probably 6 years ago. These were parents who have just been so overwhelmed, so overcome, so impressed with what happens at Binford that long after their children were there, they wanted to nominate five teachers who are there who actually work with this program. So I thought that was amazing. And those parents who did the nominating were all there last night.
Well, and the next one that I found very interesting was the Steinsville Elementary Quarry Choir. And the neat part about it is the teacher accepted the award, but the kids couldn't be there because they were singing at the IU women's basketball game.
They were working, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, the joy that each of these teachers, and especially the choir teacher, even about the recognition that the kids in the choir got through this award. And then we got into the final award before we get into our lifetime achievement was the recognition of the Artful Learning and Performing Arts School at Fairview. And what a story that one is.
Well, and Keith, as you know, because you were sitting right there with me, the kids, some of the violin participants, they were the musical beginning of the program.
That's right.
So as people were coming in and so nice to have little kids. And then they performed mm-hmm. on stage for us. And, you know, you could tell some of the kids looked a little nervous at first, and then they really kind of relaxed.
Oh, there was one little guy that was smiling ear to ear all the time he was playing. Jeez. And, you know what? And it was, I get emotional when I watch these kids do that because, you know, they have come so far and they are so good. It's amazing.
And the thing is, the reason the Fairview Performing Arts Program was recognized was, you know, we started this out as an artful learning academy with music and performance, and now we've added creative arts and pottery and some other things that makes it a true comprehensive arts academy. And the principal after this event last night told me she just signed off on two transfers of people who want to go to an arts academy. And that was our original intention when we started this. This was going to be a magnet program that was open to anybody in the community. We built a new school with a lot of different facilities so that we could accommodate a lot more kids. So I think people are learning more and more about the Arts Academy, and again, it's open to any of our elementary schools. So
well,
I,
something you already touched on, Sue, was that the collaboration that's going on between the community, Jacobs School of Music for one, the Bloomington Beat, the Monroe County YMCA, and then the entire community coming in to help out at Fairview and do things. But artists that are lending their talent to those students so that they can learn to do things. And the fact that the arts part is, you know, if you don't keep up with your lessons, you may not be able to go into your drawing class today because
right. you've
got,
and
you know,
the other thing, too, is they connect the academic curriculum
right.
with the music curriculum. It's all integrated. So, and we know from a lot of different research, and as Lois will tell us, that the creative arts really enhances and supports and helps with other kind of learning, especially music really helps with math learning. So I think we're just all real excited. You know what, and keep talking about community support, I have no idea what a violin costs, but in the videos where we were watching what was happening with the Arts Academy, they were showing all the different little violins.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. The drums, for the drumming classes,
right.
all of that came to us through grants and
on the keyboards
kinds
for
of
that
support.
Class. It's
yeah.
amazing.
And plus, it's fun to look at the little violins.
Right.
They're much smaller for little kids, and I just think that's real cute.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSE school board and check in with us every Thursday morning to focus on local education issues such as a great awards.
We have one final award
yeah,
recipient,
Lifetime Achievement Award,
and that's Jan Bergeson, who incidentally is retiring at the end of this school year, and she's the MCCSE Director of Secondary Education.
You know, Jan has done so much for us. Jan came here, I believe, 8 years ago when J.T. Koopman was our superintendent, mm-hmm. and she came in as Director of Secondary Education, and we had a Director of Elementary Education. Ultimately, we lost our director of elementary education, and Superintendent DeMuth decided
she has to wear both hats, right?
That's right.
Not to replace that position. So Jan ultimately, to save us some money, and Jan ultimately has been doing kind of like all of the curriculum with some help from some other folks. But, you know, when we were watching the video, you know, sometimes even I forget this. She's not just doing the curriculum piece, helping to devise curriculum and help teachers and building principals. Understand the curriculum and add things or collaborate with folks. But she does the whole assessment piece, which means she works with ISTEP and every other testing component that we use. So that in itself could be a whole job. But so I think we were all very thrilled that Jan could be honored in this way after serving us so well.
Jan's quote was, "The teaching works best when it occurs in a community where there's a sense of shared responsibility and passion for student learning. I hope to be remembered as truly caring for my students and fellow teachers and administrators." I mean, these teachers and administrators and these programs are just sterling programs and people that are making it good for our kids.
You know, and I think that's one of the reasons our professional learning communities have worked out so well over the last few years. And for people who don't know, that's the time when teachers in a building come together and collaborate, talking about what each student needs to help them advance. And Jan talked a whole lot about collaboration and about how she became such a better teacher when she could do it with someone else instead of isolated in her own classroom. And I think everybody who was recognized was talking about that, collaboration.
To speak to something that Mike said, the nominations this year, they said, were incredibly increased in numbers.
So who gets the arduous task of sorting through all those and deciding who misses the cut? My goodness.
Well, you know what? And that really, that's a tough job. And that's the Franklin Initiative staff. And again, we can't say enough about, first of all, our Chamber of Commerce and what they have done to help support education in this community, in this county, not just us, but RBB too. And of course, they were early supporters of the referendum and really helped with that. But as part of the chamber, then we have the Franklin Initiative, which is a fully staffed position with a full-time person and some support staff. There were a lot of chamber people there last night.
Well, and also, Sue, don't forget the graduation coaches.
Right. So the Franklin Initiative not just I mean, they don't just recognize people. Yeah, they have graduation coaches that have increased our graduation numbers. They work with the various high schools. The Franklin Initiative was really started to help support workforce development and education in this community. So, but yeah, I think that's got to be really tough, Glass, when you get.
Well, that's a good problem to have if you've got that many people being nominated.
Right. They don't just say, send us nominations for elementary school or send us nominations for science teachers. It could be anyone and any administrator, any person in any position. So, yeah, I'm sure you're right. It's one of the good problems to have.
Sue Wanser and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. You've got a meeting coming up on Tuesday
night.
Yes, we do.
What's on your agenda? Because everybody's so focused on the annexation, the city council, the county council, everything else. What do you
guys
think
about? We could be affected by that a little bit.
Oh, sure you will. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and on Tuesday we had a work session, and we talked about our finances and our upcoming proposal for continuation of bonding for long-term capital projects, and all that finance stuff also could be affected by annexation. So we're going to be talking about that, at least some of that financial stuff, at the upcoming meeting. And I think as I read a lot of different things and hear a lot of different comments from people about annexation, there's so much information out there that people don't know. You know, this is going to be a several-month-long process, and I would just hope that people would take a look at all the information out there instead of jumping to some conclusions, because we're not sure what's going to happen to us. The county is not sure what the result will be with
them. No, they wouldn't be ordering the study if they did know.
Right, exactly. So I think this is one of those things where this is what happens when, you know, I know a lot of people complain that, hey, we weren't brought in early enough. But when you're brought in at the beginning like this, there are a whole lot of questions that people don't have the answers to. So when you're brought into the beginning, this really is our time to seek out some information.
And just because people have questions or are frustrated doesn't mean that that's bad or illegal. You're allowed you're allowed to do that, because if you're not getting the answers that are suffice to you, well, then you need to keep asking questions until you do. I agree with that. But
right.
I also agree with the sentiment that if I don't have an answer, no matter how you can't beat it out of me if I don't have an answer. Relax,
exactly.
And we'll get to it here in a minute. So we've got to – everybody's got to – discourse is good. I'm all for it. You know that on this program. Discourse is just fine.
Yes.
Let's just make sure we're civil in doing so, because we have meetings scheduled that are coming up. We have a study that's going to take 3 or 4 weeks that the county's putting in. We have Mick's going to tell us about that here in a couple minutes, about the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, all those meetings that are coming up. The Perry Clear Creek Fire had a meeting last night. They're going to have more of those. So hopefully the questions will be answered at some point. It's just not going to be answered right now or 5 minutes from now.
Exactly, and that's kind of what it sounded like from the meeting last night.
I got my certified letter yesterday. I'm official.
We weren't able to. You did? Well, we weren't able to go to it because we were at another event. But
yeah, that's why they're going to have multiple meetings, right? Because everybody's doing multiple things.
And the more people involved means the more questions get asked, and that means that maybe we won't miss any of those questions out there. And that's why I always like a lot of different people involved asking a lot of different questions.
Yeah, and if you want to take your ball and go home, that's fine. If you're mad at, good. That's completely your right as an American to do so. Just be civil. That's the only thing I can ask for while all this goes on. Certified letter yesterday, Sue said I'm in the annexation Southwest District. I had a sign for it and everything. Oh, man, it felt official.
I'm there, too, with you.
That can't be a cheap process, doing certified mail to everybody, can it?
No, but it's required by law.
Yeah, that's the thing. But they stick that back to the taxpayer, which no one talks.
I worked for the city the last time we annexed an area, and it really is. I mean, it's a very, very detailed process when you figure out, you know, you have to identify every single property owner, make sure everybody is correct, and then contact all of those people and give them all the information.
Right.
And then what the controller has to do, Mick will tell you all this stuff, but what the controller has to do in terms of figuring out the numbers and the money and everything else, it really is a very complex process.
It was a very lovely brochure, glossy and threefold, and a nice piece of cardboard
certified.
In there, too.
Certified mail.
Well, you get
you got a brochure?
That's what you're going to get from the city, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get a brochure.
You didn't?
Did you get your letter?
Here's what I'll do. When I get home later this morning, I'll put it on Facebook, and you can
know
see what?
What
I got.
Glass, we're one of the waiver properties. so we can't remonstrate. Uh-huh. So maybe that's part of it.
I don't know. I'll have to read the fine print on all of that. Okay, good. Good stuff as always. We appreciate your time. We'll get caught up with you next week, see how your meeting went, and see what else is happening. And next week, March.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Next week is March.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Well, it feels like April. So
March Madness.
It is. March Madness is right around the corner. High school sectionals start next Tuesday. So you guys better hurry up with the meeting.
In IU land, it's going to be March Sadness.
Or it can be Madness, Sue. That would be one of the greatest turnarounds that we've seen.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, man.
We'll see.
The Groundhog said 6 more weeks of winter. He was referring. I don't think he was referring to the weather on all that.
Okay.
Oh, man. All right. We'll do it again next week.
Okay.